This is Jay Sekulow. We just got out of federal court. The issue, the State Department and the Obama administration unmasking.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, we just left the United States District Court for the District of Columbia in court on a case involving our ongoing Freedom of Information Act case involving the unmasking of Trump associates, personnel, maybe family members, by the former National Security Advisor Susan Rice and former UN Ambassador Samantha Powers. Now, we were in a court on a status report where the United States State Department and the NSA, National Security Administration, are basically doing everything they can to slow walk any releases, although I will tell you that this judge ordered 400 reviews to go out per month. I'm not going to go into the details of what we've gotten so far, but we will be doing that on Monday's broadcast, and they're pretty significant. But I'll say this, that this unmasking issue, which we know also may have involved FISA warrants, it may have involved the dossier. I mean, there's a lot of issues surrounding this, Jordan, that point to the problems with this. But I told Carly Gamble, senior counsel for the ACLJ, should be with us the next segment. Prepare for war here. I mean, I think this is going to be in court quite a battle ahead.
Yeah, so this involves, again, the kind of known actors at the in the Obama administration that had this kind of power to unmask during the time period when there's this idea that there were the Obama officials who were asking for this unmasking at unprecedented levels, that it was coming from the ambassador from the U.S. to the U.N., Samantha Powers. It was coming from Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor, to the president. So that, again, it's putting the timeline together. These FOIAs went out last summer, and ultimately we did not get the response we wanted from the NSA or State Department, which is why we're in court
NSA's
now.
NSA's filed, by the way, NSA has responded with nothing. They're right. Taking the position that they haven't produced a single document because nothing's relevant. But I will tell you, the NSA lawyer was there, and they don't want to produce documents. That's pretty clear. I will also tell you this. The Department of the State, in response to our request, estimate that they have about 9,000 pages of potentially responsive documents. The question is, can we get them, or will the court order it? So the court ordered a 400 processing per month, which is up from 300 that was previously. And again, I could tell you that this is going to be a real fight. I want to ask this question to our audience here, and that is, this unmasking issue is a big deal because it's American citizens in part that were being unmasked here, evidently. You had it being done by the U.N. ambassador, U.S. ambassador of the United Nations, who was put on the National Security Council. And we're talking about hundreds of reports for unmasking, which is a record number that was going on here. So when you look at all of this collectively, you realize that what you have here is you've kind of struck the central nerve in all of this. So we were in U.S. District Court this morning on this very topic. Logan, we're going to take people's calls and comments. And here's the question, or here's the issue we want to discuss. How important, even a year and a half later, is this issue of surveillance of American citizens, the possible surveillance of incoming administration that ended up serving as president of the United States and his staff? How big of an issue is it to you, and do you want to see us get to the bottom of it? We'll take your calls and comments as well. Logan will let you know how to do that.
All right. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. You can also join us broadcasting live today on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter and Periscope at JaySekulow, or on ACLJ.org. Again, phone lines are open for your calls and for your comments and your questions. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines have just opened up, and we're going to take comments as well. So if you're on Facebook right now, put your comments in. Someone on our team reads them, and some of them even make it on the air or during the breaks, because if you watch online, we don't go to break. We continue the conversation each and every day. Again, ACLJ.org to be a part of what's going on, or give us a call, the 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more on the unmasking.
If International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, here's what's happened. We were in federal court just moments ago, U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. The cases involve our litigation against the State Department and the National Security Administration on the unmasking. We'll get into some of that in a moment, but I will tell you this, that during the course of the hearing, Carly Gamble, senior counsel for the ACLJ, made the oral argument stay in court, and I will tell you that, though, the lawyer for the Department of Justice, who's representing the State Department, or actually probably State and NSA technically, because the Justice Department represents all agencies, was very clear in saying to the judge, now they're asking for information on former very high-ranking officials within the previous administration. And what they're talking about there, quite frankly, is, of course, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice. So, Carl, that was clearly they were trying to set the tone as they're not just asking for some information, they're asking for information on people that were of the highest rank within the administration.
Well, that's right. And the irony of this, Jay, is that in one breath, he says this is a high-ranking official that we're talking about here and specifically their power. But in the next breath, he says this isn't newsworthy information. Well, what I would say is the fact that they've identified almost 10,000 pages worth of documents on this issue is alone newsworthy.
Well, look, we're just getting some of them, and I will tell you they're newsworthy. But this is the nature and the scope of what's going on here. So I think it's important to kind of set the tone, Jordan, of what we're talking about when we're talking about unmasking. So let's walk people through that. Yeah.
So when we talk about Susan Rice, she was the national security advisor for President Obama, but it also includes those working around her, like Ben Rhodes, who's been an extremely vocal critic of the Trump administration. He, again, is named in our FOIA request. So is Valerie Jarrett and Cheryl Mills. These were, again, very top people in the Obama administration when it came to national security at the White House. The specific reports that led to this were the report. This report was in Fox News. It's Susan Rice, former national security advisor under then-President Barack Obama, requested to unmask the name of Trump transition officials caught up in surveillance. The unmasked names of people associated with Donald Trump were then sent to everyone at the National Security Council, some at the Defense Department, then Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, and then CIA Director John Brennan, essentially the officials at the top, including former Rice Deputy Ben Rhodes. The names were part of incidental electronic surveillance of candidate and President-elect Trump and people close to him, including family members, for up to a year before he took office. So we know this was ramping up during the transition. On Samantha Power, that was when it really ramped up to hundreds in just the last, like, during the transition period from a U.N. ambassador for the United States. And so though they do serve on the National Security Council, it is more than alarming when you saw this kind of rate that was being reported of hundreds of unmasking requests from Samantha Power.
So here's what you also have to remember with this, and I think this is important to put in context. Remember you had that executive order change with regard to the sharing of information from basically three categories to almost, I think it was 18, 17 or 18. And that happened right at the end also. I mean, the Obama administration waited until the waning days of their administration to increase the distribution list on this material. Now, for the seven years and 11 months that they served in office, they never changed it. But at the end, they did on the sharing of that information. So you got that. It's clear that they, in court today, they were consistently saying high-ranking, Carly, government officials.
Right. I mean, they obviously recognize the importance of this information, which is why their position is, let us slow walk this. Let us give you the bare minimum. Let us trickle it out, because we don't want you to have this information.
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean, you could tell that as soon as we walked in the courtroom door, even before the argument started. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take comments also on Facebook. But again, we want your reaction to all of this. You want to get to the bottom of this, and how important is it to you? 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a call or a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. You're on the air, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Carly. Question. I had heard there was a comparison of how many unmasking requests they've had during this administration as compared to previous. It was like hundreds versus 13.
Right.
And your question, Jay, was should we pursue it? If it's not pursued and permitted to stay as the number that they did, does that become the new norm, the new precedence that they can do it if sure. It wasn't questioned back here?
Well, I'm going to let Jordan address the specifics of the number, because the numbers were just staggering. But yes, I mean, if you set the bar like that, it becomes all of a sudden that becomes the accepted way it's done, which should never be the way it's accepted to be done on unmasking. Same thing with FISA warrants. It just should not be done that way. But this puts together an entire narrative that's problematic here. Jordan?
Yeah, I will say I'm not sure if any conservative or Republican presidential team could get away with this. I mean, and just kind of walk away with it the way that these former Obama officials, I mean, you're talking about CIA director, you're talking about the National Security Advisor, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. You're talking about basically all the people that you're still seeing on cable news and in the media. They are still a very outspoken political actors. I mean, John Brennan is tweeting out consistently criticism of the current president. He was receiving the info on President Trump himself when he was being unmasked, and President Trump's family members. So I think you put it all into context, and yes, it may set a bad precedent for the future, but I can't imagine these state actors. I think the only way that they were able to get this far was that they had a lot of support within all of those agencies. So
exactly.
Going on
still,
down.
They still do.
Yeah, they have support. Right. I mean, that's what we talk about with deep state. It's not Susan Rice who's the deep state. It's the people that are 14 steps below her in these agencies. Yeah. They have to put together the reports when she asked for it. And there, this was not, again, something that was just all leaking out and it was reported, and now we're trying to get the confirmation.
You know, it became very clear in federal court today, and that the bureaucrats that are the ones telling the lawyers, you can't blame the lawyers here, but the bureaucrats that are telling the lawyers what to do, which are the holdovers, it became very clear to me, Carly, that what you had was they are doing everything they can to slow walk it because they don't want the information that we're entitled to be out there. It's not a good narrative for them.
No, that's absolutely the case. I mean, we've seen this time and time again with what we've continually referred to as the deep state, and they have fought tooth and nail to keep this information concealed when the reason we're in court is because there's a federal law that says that it should be public.
Yeah, in fact, you said that in court today, that the reason we're in federal court is exactly that. You go through the administrative process first, and then when it's not successful, you go to court, which is precisely what we did. But there's another issue here that I think is equally important to understand, I think, for our audience, and that is this. Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, they were at the top of the chain. So they're not. This is not like a deep state actor. This is not embeds. It was, but now they're gone. Yet there's still this tension in getting these documents. And that's because within these bureaucracies, these people have been there a long time, and they may be sympathetic with another approach. And this is information concerning the current president of the United States. So they are not so forthcoming or don't want to be forthcoming. Now, I was pleased with the judge's order. Again, it increased it, which still, by the way, even with the judges increasing the order, you got to understand about these cases, folks. You go to first, you go through an administrative process. Carly, how long does it normally take from letter to whether a decision we have to make to go to federal court or not on these?
Well, unfortunately, it takes a little longer than it should, but we're usually doing that within a few months.
Okay, so 2 months or so, 2 or 3 months before you go to federal court. Then you go to federal court. Then if you're successful, which you were, you get an order. Then the order says process 400 documents a month. And that means still the processing time would be what? A year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, close to 2 years. The good news, though, is that we started out with the 300 processing rate. And the judge made it clear last time that that's the floor. That's not the ceiling here. And so now he's increased it to 400. And I think that we can expect that we'll continue to get an increase in that.
But you understand, for our audience, that it takes going to federal court. And, Jordan, we've talked about this a lot. These are not cases that are started and finished in 3 months. It's not an injunction hearing. This is a couple of years of litigation. It's going to take us 2.5 years to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah,
and we've got to have the stamina to do that.
Yeah, and they're not going to give this information over without a fight. So though you have
that's clear.
The laws that make it available to Americans who request it, and we're spearheading this effort. You have to be committed to these, and in all these matters, when you take on federal government agencies, regardless of who the president is and the political appointees, one of those agencies, to really change the culture in Washington, D.C. means changing these folks, too, and a new way of thinking that, again, getting the information out. We've seen time and time, whether it's from Congress, whether it's us in these FOIAs, the idea is they first ignore it, then they kind of say, oh, will they actually take us to court? You take them to court, you have to file the lawsuit. All to get documents here. And then you've got to wait on their document production. And, you know, they'll say, well, we got nearly 10,000 documents that could be relevant to your request. We'll give you 300 to 400 a month.
Yeah, produce them is what I say. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan's going to let you know how you can get your comments in, your phone calls as well.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. You can also comment right now on Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Also Twitter, @JaySekulow, @JordanSekulow, @ACLJ. And again, phone lines are open for your calls and your comments. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Or again, ACLJ.org to view the show as well.
We'll be back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget, support the ACLJ Matching Challenge Month in April, ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support.
Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
All right, so the Department of the State says they've got 9,000 doc pages of potentially responsive documents to our FOIA request. We're in federal court. We just left now. We're just starting to get information rolling in. The government does not want to hand it over. That much I could assure you. They do not want to hand this over. And they don't want to hand it over, Carly, because it was very clear in the hearing when you were doing the argument today, and we were in federal court literally, folks, about an hour and a half ago, that these were former high-ranking officials with the United States government. That, he kept saying that over and over again.
Right. And he says that as though that's a reason for them to conceal
right.
the documents. In fact, the opposite is true. You know, if these are top-level officials, then that's all the more reason that the public should be privy to what they were doing, and particularly in the context that we're talking about here with unmasking.
Yeah, so again, you got to understand what's going on here, folks. Who are they unmasking, Jordan? That's what we got to remember, what was going on here during a presidential transition.
Yeah, so in the case of Samantha Power, this is what the Washington Free Beacon reported. Former U.N. Ambassador Samantha Power is believed to have made, quote, hundreds of unmasking requests to identify individuals named in classified intelligence community reports related to President Trump and his presidential transition team. So this happened when it's with Samantha Power. The allegations in the media reports are that these hundreds of requests for President Trump's unmasking and other officials with his transition team happened during the transition. Now, when it comes to Susan Rice, it's a longer period. It includes that time period, but it starts before that. So the news reports say it's up to a year before the president took office. So that would include the campaign as well as the transition, as well as, the president taking office. So you have what I think is key there is it also includes the campaign when it comes to Susan Rice, that she also requested those that unmasking. And then and include President Trump himself and family members of the president, as well as officials at the campaign and the transition. And then she gave all the information out. And this is, remember, all how the leaks begin and all this info starts getting out to the press that was obviously through unmasking. And that she gave it out to the entire National Security Council, everyone on it, some at the Defense Department, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, and the CIA Director, John Brennan. And as well as her deputy, Ben Rhodes. So you gave it to a lot of people, some yep. who are hyper-partisan now, and have demonstrated that months after, still a year now and months later, they're still on cable news rallying against this president. I mean, and even the former CIA director taking those steps, John Brennan, to almost keep a constant criticism of the president going. And these were the people who were getting this information.
You know, you have this, and at the same time in the news you have right now is everybody trying to figure out what to make of the FBI apparently refusing to unredact the memo that started a lot of the Russia stuff off, and what's going on with that. So, again, that's unrelated to this case, but yet this case was involving unmasking, and then you start wondering, was the unmasking because of the FISA warrant? Who had access to that? A lot of questions to ask and answer, but we've got a lot of people calling in as well, so let's go right back to the phones or take a comment, Logan.
All right, Joseph in Pennsylvania, line six, you're on the air.
Hi, Joseph, go ahead.
Jay, on your question, do I want them held accountable? Yes. Going back to the Clinton administration, when they left, George W. Bush wanted everything to be started fresh in his administration, nice, and he let go the prosecution of all the stuff left behind by the Clinton administration. So what happened after that? The Obama administration came in and violated law after law after law, and the Clintons continued with Uranium One, the Clinton Foundation, and others. If we don't hold them accountable, what's potentially next is the Democrats.
Well, here's what we're trying to figure out, and this is what you have to understand, and I appreciate the call, Joseph, is we're trying to get information, Carly, to find out what happened here with, in this particular case, this unmasking.
Well, that's right. And to the caller's point, this is one of the ways that we are trying to hold the former administration accountable for its actions. And we're doing that through litigation under the Freedom of Information Act so that we can discover what was going on. And when I say hold accountable, I mean for the future as well. So
yeah,
that this can't
that's what
happen.
I was going to say, because the fact of the matter is Republican, Democrat, in this context, it doesn't matter. This was going on during a presidential transition. I mean, this is the unprecedented nature of all of this is staggering. And then when you start seeing what we're even getting and what we will be getting, I mean, it begs the question of what was really going on here. That's what you want to know. What was really going on here? Jordan?
Yeah, I think that this is why we are fighting this out. It's that ultimately all of these reports, and I just got to remind people, the leaks that were coming out in the lead up to President Trump taking the oath of office, then even after, and the suspicion was it was all coming from these National Security Council current or former members and their staffs. And so during those transition periods and even the first few months of the new president's term, President Trump's term, a lot of those staff were still there. And so there was that concern. But what we do know is that when you look at who is the target here of this FOIA request, these are all people who would have had access to the National Security Council or even were on the National Security Council. So Susan Rice's National Security Advisor leads it when the president's not available to lead it. And then Samantha Power, as the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, was also a member of this. But when you start giving out to everybody else on the council, includes like people like Treasury Secretary and the Vice President's team as well, and many others, and they start giving it to their staffs, then you have this kind of leaks that started coming out. So you had the improper unmasking, we believe, that was politically motivated, and then the leaking of national security information like that.
So, it again, staggering a number. Logan, do we have time for one more call? Do you want to hold it till after the break?
No, we got time.
Okay, let's go
to Christy in Texas. Line one, you're on the air.
Hi, Christy.
Yes, hi, Jay. Thank you so much for all you do. We appreciate you. I just wanted to say that as far as the unmasking goes, there doesn't seem to be anyone in our DOJ investigating anything about this. No one's concerned.
I mean, we were in federal court literally, now probably an hour and 45 minutes ago. And it is clear Carly Gamble, senior counsel of the ACLJ, was litigating this today in court. It's very clear, because they kept saying over and over again, it's high ranking, high ranking, high ranking. They're going to do everything they can to not get this information out. I mean, I said to you, we're in for a battle on this.
Right. You did say that, and you're absolutely right. And the demeanor and the words coming out of their mouths confirmed that, anything that they can do, they're going to continue to do to withhold this information. And I think there's, on their end, they think there's good reason for that because of what they're likely to have to disclose.
Yeah, they don't want to disclose it. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're here for another 30 minutes. In a moment, Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast. But if you're just joining us or joining us late, we were in federal court just a little while ago in Washington, D.C. The case involves the State Department and the National Security Administration. It's the unmasking of President Trump, possibly, but also family members and associates by Susan Rice, by Ben Rhodes, by Samantha Powers. And it was a FOIA request to get those documents to find out what exactly took place here. What was going on in this process? And that's what we're getting to the bottom of right now. But it's going to be, listen, it's an ongoing process. Understand, it's going to probably take 2.5 years of litigation or so to get this resolved. All right, Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast. Don't forget, ACLJ.org for the Matching Challenge campaign.
That's right. You can join us online if you don't get it on your local station the next half hour. It's ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter, Periscope @JaySekulow. Download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast, available on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure you stay up to date on ACLJ.org. You can give us a call. It's at 1-800-684-3110. But again, a second half hour coming up. If you don't carry it on your local station, if you can't listen to it, you can find us broadcasting live online. We'll be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So today we were in federal court just really moments ago, United States District Court for the District of Columbia, on an ongoing Freedom of Information Act case that we have involving the unmasking of the names of Trump associates, personnel. He was a president-elect at that point. Family members by the former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, Samantha Power, and others. The case is ongoing. We had to go to federal court. Carly Gamble's in the studio with me here in Washington. She is senior counsel at the ACLJ. She made the oral arguments today in court. And Carly, let everybody know on the that's listening right now or watching us on Facebook or Periscope or on TV, what was at stake here? What were we looking to get?
So there were really two things at stake, and the overarching issue here is trying to get beyond the delay that we continue to experience. And so we were talking about the rate at which the State Department is going to be required to process and produce relevant documents to us. And we were fortunate to get an uptick in that. We got an increase, and so now we'll be getting more documents every month than previously, and we're hopeful that that will continue to increase. There's the separate issue is the categories of documents that we haven't talked about yet are the ones that they really are holding on tight to.
Which are which ones?
Which they won't even admit whether they exist, which are the specific requests for unmasking in intelligence documents. And so because they're intelligence documents, you know, their claim is we can't even admit whether they exist. But what they're ignoring is that there's been a lot of media, including congressmen, current congressmen, talking about the fact that both Rice and Power themselves have admitted to the unmasking.
No, I mean, look, I mean, it's kind of playing a little bit of hide and seek here, but that's not the reality. That's why you're in federal court, too, to get to the bottom of this. But they're playing hide and seek. You got members of Congress talking about it, the media is talking about it, all of that relevant to the discussion. All right, I'm going to do something unusual here in the first segment, and Logan, because we've got a lot of people holding at 800-684-3110. Let's take a call or a comment right off the top here.
All right, let's go to Bruce in Connecticut, line two.
Hey, Bruce, you're on the air.
Simple question. Why can't we just get a warrant? Every other criminal activity is searched by a warrant.
We can't get a warrant because we're not the United States government, and we're not able to get warrants. A warrant is issued through a court, through an investigative agency. That would be in this kind of situation, be the FBI or Department of Justice, or if it's a state agency, state attorney generals or district attorneys. So that's how you get a warrant. So there's no search warrant to get here. The way you get a search, Carly, is to be in court looking, getting, and demanding access to the documents.
Right. You use the laws that citizens, private citizens, are permitted to use here, the Freedom of Information Act, right? So this isn't a criminal case. This is a civil case.
Right.
But we're saying, hey, we're private citizens, and we have a right to this information. We asked for it. They didn't respond. And so that particular statute gives us the opportunity to go into court.
So this is the private right of action to get access to government documents. And that's why. So it's not a criminal proceeding, as Carly said, it's a civil proceeding. But it begs this question, and Logan, I'm curious to hear, what are we seeing on social media? What are people saying?
Yeah, people are just saying that pretty much this is no surprise. Yet again, we have overwhelming evidence, this from Michael, but the previous administration and others, and nothing will happen, no surprise. And a lot of people are asking, like Joe just said, the obstruction needs to stop. What can we do? Can the president demand this immediately? What's the process, I guess, for people?
Well, the process is that you make a request initially in writing, and then they have a period of time to respond. And then once they respond or don't respond, then you have the option to go into federal court. And a lot of these, what I would call high-profile FOIA cases, you're going to federal court. I mean, that's the way in which you do this. So we're in federal court on this. Carly was making the argument. We were all over in the federal court building just a little while ago. That's how you do this. And the goal in federal court is to, and you said this, I thought it was very effective in the oral argument, Carly, that absent a court order, they just don't produce these.
That's right. And they, I mean, I didn't have to say it because they admitted it themselves. Yeah. And we have the evidence that that's the case.
So you have to go to court in order to get the result. So again, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org, especially in April, which, like Mark, is a matching challenge month for us, is vital to the ongoing fight to get to the bottom of these stories. So again, ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. We'll take more calls, Logan, when we come back from the break. We'll let people know how they can contact us and get their comments in on Facebook and Periscope as well.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Exclusive video coming up in the break. So if you're watching online, conversation always keeps going, or we play you an exclusive video. This is one of those breaks with a video. So know that's coming up here. And make sure you watch online. 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in through Facebook. We'll be right back.
It's
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We were just in federal court just moments ago on our ongoing Freedom of Information Act case against the State Department and National Security Administration. The issue is the unmasking of the president-elect, his family members, and others affiliated with the campaign by Susan Rice and former U.N. Ambassador Samantha Powers. We are taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. I want to ask Jordan a question or set the stage of what we're looking for, and then I've got a question to our governmental affairs director, Than Bennett. But, Jordan, I think it's important for people to understand exactly what we're looking for here.
Yeah, we're looking for to be able to corroborate the news reports about this so that the reporting and the testimony that's been before Congress, so you've had members of Congress speaking about this, you've had the reporting go on about this. You've seen the leaks about information that would only come through activities like this. So you'd had to have unmasking to get the information that was then leaked to the media. We know who would be the source. And specifically, when it comes to Susan Rice, we know that it's been reported that for the year before President Trump took the oath of office, she was making these unmasking requests specific to President Trump, President Trump's family members, campaign staff, and officials with the campaign. And that continued on through the transition until President Trump took the oath of office and Susan Rice was gone from her position. When it comes to Samantha Power, we know that there was a ramp up reported of hundreds of unmasking requests by the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations for President Obama, Samantha Power, hundreds just during the transition period. So it didn't go back the full year like Susan Rice's did, that hers was limited to the transition period. And what did we see from that period? And then even after the president took the oath of office, after President Trump took the oath of office, unbelievable leaks in Washington, D.C. that were occurring minute by minute, evening by evening, all to undermine the president and his and the incoming and new administration.
Right. So let me go to Than Bennett here. He's our Director of Governmental Affairs here in Washington. And Than, this is important. This is also something Congress has been concerned with.
Congress,
and they're not getting great cooperation either from the Justice Department. Let me say that as an understatement.
Well, honestly, Congress's involvement in this underscores why our FOIA practice is so important because, Jay, they just run the political clock out on Congress. You talk about a 2- and 3-year litigation clock. Well, guess what? By then, the Congress has turned over, so Congress is not very effective at getting these documents. That's why we're ahead. And just one thing, Jay, I want to tie something in that Jordan just said. He talked about the hundreds of unmasking requests that happened in the lead-up to the inauguration of the new president. Remember, Ambassador Power testified that she had underlings submitting those requests in her name. Jay, guess where those underlings still are? They're still over at the State Department. Yep. So you want to tie these top officials to the deep state? That's your tie right there. The deep state made many of these requests.
So when you get these emails and they start being produced, you find out who's sending what to whom. And we're in that process right now. We're evaluating some of those literally as we speak. So we're going to have a lot more on this next week on the broadcast. All right, let's do this. Let's take some phone calls. Logan at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110.
All right.
Let's go ahead and do it.
Tom in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the Airline 3.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for all that you do. I'm a longtime supporter with you.
Great.
So kind of got a two-part question. Definitely not a lawyer, but hearing you guys, I kind of feel like, hey, I'm picking this stuff up. So
good.
Is it kind of against the law, all the stuff that you're talking about, the FISA report, it, you know, how they've been unmasking, okay, that, and then how they slow walk
yeah.
it. So both of those situations. So then, and then going to the civil court.
Let me before you get to the civil court question, let me address the other one. So is it illegal? It depends on what was done and the basis upon which they did it. So that's what we're trying to find out. Now, the FISA warrant, I think, has got a whole host of issues. We've talked about that a lot on this broadcast. I'm not going to go through all that again, but you had, you know, the dossier served as the primary basis, according to Congress, for the FISA warrant. That dossier was, words of James Comey, salacious and unverified. And that was the basis of a FISA warrant? Well, that's a pretty big deal, and I would say, yes, that would be a violation of the law if that was the case, number one. Number two, as it relates to this situation with unmasking, there are policies and principles of unmasking in the rules and regulations in the law, and that includes minimization requirements so that you don't overexpose here. The problem is, and I'll let you ask the rest of the question in a moment, Tom, is that we know that the numbers of these Jordans increase so dramatically at the end here, really unprecedented.
Yeah, hundreds. Hundreds were made just by Samantha Power. That is what has been reported in the news. It's widely reported. We've talked about there's been hearings on this. This has been out there. We know that the leaks that were coming out certainly indicate that someone was making unmasking requests to be able to get leaks that were so specific to undermine the incoming administration. And we do have to remind people what that was like. I mean, it was literally every day there was something coming out
yep.
that would have been considered pretty classified or top secret information that were, you know, discussions
right.
going on between transition individuals and then ultimately those who were serving in the White House and you know, people involved in national security. And so the idea that this was all coming out, it makes sense that there were people who were politically motivated. And that's when you get into the real problems of this unmasking is
yep.
the amounts are suspicious. The reasons why would be very suspicious as well. When you see, you know, when you talk about things like the dossier, when you look at how the FBI was behaving as well, and the Department of Justice under the Obama administration, that this kind of just fits that pattern. And ultimately, the American people, I think, want to confirm and corroborate those news reports.
Exactly. All right, let's do this. Tom, you had a second part of your question. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I knew the first part was a really great question. I wanted to answer it fully. What's your second part?
Yeah, okay, so hopefully I can ask this clearly. So is it, when she was your senior counsel there, the girl, I apologize, I don't know her name, but anyway, she
Carly Gamble.
That this is, Carly, okay, so she's saying this is a civil thing, that what you guys are going through. The civil side of the court system, it's easier to get a judgment, so to speak, you don't have to prove it as much. I don't know if I'm asking that right.
Well, you don't have
right.
to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, if that's what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so you feel like, yeah, I'm not a lawyer. So what I'm asking then, can we hold these people accountable, get money?
So we like, cannot, we cannot institute, so you understand this, we cannot institute a criminal proceeding because we're a private organization. For a criminal charge to be brought, and that's the way it should be, it has to be brought by, in this case, the United States government. Private parties can't bring a criminal action against other parties. What we do is find out the... Now, what Than will tell you right now is you could take the information you get and share it with federal authorities, but you got to understand, on one hand, you're fighting the Department of Justice because they're representing the Secretary of State and the National Security Administration. So that's what... And then you're going to say, well, here are the documents we got back to the Justice Department, not likely to get a response. So what you do is
Congress.
Well, and people have to remember that criminal prosecution is not the only goal here.
Maybe even
the larger goal is making sure this never happens again. And by the way, Jay, we accomplished that precisely in the IRS case, which really had very many analogous circumstances to this one. It was a federal bureaucracy that was targeting unfairly for political purposes conservative groups. And the people that were involved had to leave, Jay. So if you look at more than 9,000 pages of responsive documents, that tells me that there is a legion of folks over there who are involved in this unmasking.
Right.
Maybe the most important goal that we're after, Jay, is to find out who they are, who among them is still there, and then to make sure that they're gone.
I think that's exactly correct. All right, Logan, do we have time for a quick question, or are we too tight here?
We have time. We can take a quick call. Let's go to Charlie, who's calling in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Charlie. Go ahead. Quickly, please.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Quick question. Does the statute of limitations play here?
Not really. It's not an issue here because you don't have – these are current requests, and then once you start the process, it doesn't impact – there's not a statute of limitation issue in these kind of cases. What is happening is they don't give you 9,000 documents, Jordan, at one time. So
no.
It's a question of how quick can you get them, and then when you get them, can you start building up the fact pattern to determine who's – look, we did that with the FBI and DOJ on some of that stuff, and we found out it was – very senior administrative officials involved in that. We found that out in the case with the State Department and the anti-Benjamin Netanyahu ads, that it was Mahmoud Abbas's son was the advisor of the group that was getting money. You can get there, but you got to go through it in a process, and then you have to put it all together.
Yeah, that's right. So we know that over 9,000 documents exist because the agencies have told us that. So we know that when it comes to the State Department, there's over 9,000 documents that exist. And so they're saying, you know, initially they were saying they could produce 300 pages a month. So they've said there's over 9,000 pages. And so if you get to that, again, it takes more than a year, takes at least 2 years. Now they've moved up to 400 pages a month. But it's a real battle to get the information and then putting it into a narrative. They don't do that for you. You've got to do that work.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments, Logan. We come back for the last segment of the broadcast.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to give us a call and be on the final segment of the show for the day. Again, I'll say it one more time, and I'll say it slower. 1-800-684-3110. Try a new experience. Join us on Facebook, Periscope, or Twitter, at JSeculo. You find us broadcasting live there each and every day once again. Couple lines are open for your voice, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support.
Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, that means we take as many calls as we can. We're going to go right to the phones at 800-684-3110. Logan's looking at our callers. Who do we have next?
Let's go. Joanne's calling in Cleveland on the line one. Joanne, welcome.
Hi, Joanne. Go ahead.
Like I always say, my most informative hour of my day. I don't always get to hear you live, but I've been dying to ask this question. It's more of a process question. When Susan Rice and Samantha Power say, I want this person unmasked, is there a filter? Or do they just get it because of who they are? You know what
so
I mean? I mean,
they're supposed to be. There was really a very stringent process, and that kind of got changed there at the end. But I'll tell you what it looks like. We don't know this for a fact yet, but then it looks like to me that they had pretty much unchecked authority. And didn't Susan Rice say that some of it was done by her subordinates?
Absolutely. She testified that was her defense for making hundreds in 2016 as well. I didn't do it all. Other people were doing it in our name. And I'll say this. This is my personal opinion.
We're talking about surveillance that includes American citizens.
Well, it's not the only time either. I mean, I think you've got surveillance of U.S. citizens on fraudulent information. I think you've got the unmasking of citizens, gating basically anything that they ask for, Jay. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like to me that they used every lever of the federal government, most of them rooted deep in the bureaucracy, for political purposes. And I'll tell you this, Jay. Congress worked very hard to get some of this information, but they're running the political clock out on this. And the only way we're going to find real answers about who all was involved is through the litigation like the one you just came from this morning. It is the only way, Jay, that can sustain the duration that it takes to find the information.
So let me share something here, because I see, Logan, some of these comments, and I'm sure you're getting them on the social media feeds. Well, this is great, but then it ends up not doing anything. And are you getting a lot of that?
Yeah, I think that's the general, often the consistency of people just hear a lot of this and they don't see any results, but really they're not looking close enough.
No, like look at the IRS case, folks. We completely unraveled a targeting scheme that was going on within the Internal Revenue Service against individual organizations, pro-life groups, conservative group, education groups. And now, after 3 years of litigation, not only did we win, the rules and regulations are changed by the IRS, and they end up signing a consent decree, and damages are issued on another case. So you got both injunctive relief with changes in rules and policy and monetary damages. So, Jordan, we say this often, you've got to have patience, but at the end, it's worth the fight. But you got to have patience.
Yeah, I mean, the last resort is court. So even when you make a FOIA request, that's the last resort. And the initial part of the FOIA request is that they're supposed to comply under the law. If they don't comply, you then have the ability to take them to court. And what they're always testing here is that, and this has become the norm, as we've said, is that they don't comply. And we've seen them before. Remember, with the other one of the other requests, the FBI said they had nothing about the meeting with the Attorney General and Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton on the tarmac in Phoenix. And then the Department of Justice did give some information that included FBI officials. So the FBI came back and said, okay, now we have to look. So they have these kind of automatic responses that they try to push out when it comes to these really high-profile FOIA requests like you talked about. And then you've got to then decide, okay, we got to take them to court. They know, listen, they're the federal government. Their resources, they got no problem with resources. They can fight this in court for many, many years. And that's what their strategy is. They want to, again, kind of test
run the clock out.
Yeah, and test whether or not you're willing to fight the battle.
So remember these names? Baker, Comey, McCabe, Rubicki. All evidence that was presented, all the information that got out there, these individuals are no longer there. So Lois Lerner at the IRS. So when you say it doesn't have consequences, yeah, it does. We can't bring criminal charges, and private organizations should not be able to bring criminal charges. But you can hold agencies and organizations accountable, and that's precisely what we're doing. All right, Logan, we could do these calls remaining. Let's go do them.
All right, Dennis is calling in Missouri on line four. If you have a call, 1-800-684-3110. Dennis, you're on the air.
Hey, Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Hey,
sure.
My question is this. In today's modern technology, we didn't have this 35 years ago, I suppose. You know, things need to take place a little faster. You guys have danced around this 2.5 years thing all morning.
What do you mean by dancing around? I want to be something specific here, Dennis. When you say dancing around it, you got to understand something. We had to go to a federal court to compel the agency to start producing documents. It took a federal – it wasn't just you write a letter and they gave them to you. In fact, we wrote a letter and they didn't give them to you. So that required us to go to federal court. And once you go to federal court, you get a production order. And that production order in this case involves 9,000 documents or 9,000 pages that have to be reviewed, which is part of the – and then are released now at 400 of them a month, which is basically a little less than about 22 months you'll have all the information. That's actually really quick. Now, we think it should be quicker than that, and that's why you go back to federal court. But if you don't go to federal court, guess what you don't get? The documents. So I just wanted to finish up your comment, but I wanted you to understand this is not a process where you can just go in, wave a magic wand, and say, give us the documents. You got to get a court order to do it, and we did that.
Right, and I understand we're talking about an extreme amount there. So when and I've heard like 1.5 years to 2.5 years to 4 years, and I think these courts are trying, like you said, playing out this clock with Congress.
No, it's not the court playing out the clock. It's the agencies playing out the clock. I want to be really specific there, but finish up.
Okay. So could Carly have not, and I understand the 400 a month, could Carly, when she was arguing the case, could she not have impelled the, or, you know, asked the judge, can we get these quicker? Can we do this faster?
Well, you did. That's why we were in court today. It was 300 a month. Now it's 400 a month. You know, next time you go back, you say you want 500 a month. That's the process we go into.
Well, and initially, Jay, we did ask the State Department to expedite the review, and there are four criteria by which you can request it, two of which specifically apply to this case. They denied that because it said that it was not urgently needed by the public, and it did not substantially violate due process rights. Jay, I would argue both of those are incorrect, but we did ask for expedited review. The State Department did not. It, and that is why we had to take it to court.
Exactly right. All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, last call of the day. Nancy in California, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say that I think that we are so discouraged, and it's because it's just become the norm for the Dems to do these things and that they're not supposed to do, and when they're called out on it, there's no penalty. In fact, their fans
but there, you know, Nancy, I'm not trying to be hard on this, but there is a penalty. Let's think about this for a moment, and Jordan will address this too. The IRS had to change its entire operating procedures after we filed a lawsuit and got an injunction and monetary damages in a companion case. That completely had to change their opinion of their review process, completely changed the way in which they review tax-exempt organizations and how they could no longer target. And Lois Lerner is no longer, you didn't put her in jail, but that's not our job. Okay, our job is to do what? Correct the law. She's no longer the head of the nonprofit tax-exempt division of the Internal Revenue Service. You have to understand what the goal is here. And I'm being hard on this, folks, because you can't set an unrealistic expectation. You have to know what the law is and apply the law. And that's how you get change in agencies. If you don't do it, nothing will change. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, look at the FBI change at the top, the deputy director. Again, I mean, and this was coming out of because of reports that were made, investigations that were started. And then in the FBI's case, when it came to the deputy director in McCabe's case, that came from the internal investigation of the FBI, that recommendation. So I do want to point out that on the civil side, individuals are feeling the impact of it, and the entire agencies are also feeling the impact of it. And that's what you can do from the civil side of this and get the information out to people so they can make informed choices about who they want leading the government.
Exactly. All right. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged with us. Don't forget the Matching Challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting each and every day around the country on your local radio station, SiriusXM. Also on ACLJ.org. Download the ACLJ app for more information. You can also make sure you visit ACLJ.org. Lots of news and blogs updated each and every day. Follow us on all social medias at Jay Sekulo, at Jordan Sekulo, at Logan Sekulo, at ACLJ on Twitter. And stay tuned. Tomorrow we got a new show coming up for you. You can always find that at ACLJ.org.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at ACLJ.org.